Today is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. And next week is not the sixth, but it's the first Sunday of the penitential season, the pre-Lenten season. The next three Sundays, Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima, to prepare for Lent. So this is the last Mass for some months in green vestments. The lessons are from St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel from St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to him, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle and bind it into bundles to burn. But the wheat gather ye into my barn. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so some news, there's some good news. You've been praying for Father Greg Gonzalez. The report's down in Florida. He wishes to thank you for your prayers. He has improved somewhat. He's been able to say Mass privately, and it'll take a year or more to recover. And he may be out of action as a priest, but he's getting better, and he thanks you for your prayers. Keep your prayers up for all of our sick faithful, Bob Rito, Ed and Claire Kreplin, all those who would be here if they could. And this first Sunday of the month, we always announce those who from this parish who have died in the month of February. John J. Wynn, Jr., Lois Pryor, Jake Denk, Jr., A. Vincent Busby, and Leona Propsner. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. After this Mass, there'll be blessing of throats for the Feast of St. Blaise, or come back in surplice and stole those who wish to have this blessing. This great saint who cured a boy of his fish bone stuck in his throat. We'll do that blessing, and then I'll do there'll be the catechism classes and the apologetics class today, first and third Sundays of the month. We had the Feast of Candlemas this week, and I blessed some candles. They'll be available downstairs. Normally, donation, we can't sell them once they're blessed, or the blessing will disappear. So they're usually going at a $3 donation. for the candles, the blessed candle mass. Next Saturday, God willing, the 12th, I'll be here for 9 o'clock mass, followed by the holy hour of reparation. And next week, the second collection will be for the benefit of the needs of the Priory and Richfield. And again, I thank you for helping out, looking after the priests and the brothers. They were sick. They're all much better now. Now, again, once a year, we read a financial statement. So this is a good summary of what's been going on and where we are, where we stand. So for the 12 months of the year 2021, our regular income, including the first, second collection, special donations, income from our bookstore and the bank interest, totaled more than $250,000, $265,916. That included our four special SSPX collections for priests' training, for foreign mission support, for the education fund, and for priestly vocations. It provided as needed assistance to individuals and families at our parish through the Good Samaritan Fund. So our regular expenses, including mortgage, utilities, insurance, which has gone up like crazy, building and property maintenance, safety requirements, priest support, and all obligations to the SSPX, the expenses amounted to $152,976. So in 2021, we had a number of capital improvement projects. We replaced an undersized heating and air conditioning unit with a larger energy efficient unit. And we'll be adding also an air conditioning unit to cool down the priest's office and the children's room in the spring. We had a new Murphy bed installed in the priest's office, replacing the makeshift pull-out bed. We also purchased a new outdoor nativity set, a beautiful Paschal candlestick, two commercial toilets, and a replacement supplemental air conditioning unit for the church. Thanks to your generosity, our emergency fund of approximately 6 months of expenses is still in place. And we've begun saving for future replacement of the main roof, organ repairs, and paying down of our mortgage. The mortgage started at $850,000 back in 2006. It's now reduced to just $186,000. So we have a little way to go to pay that off, but we've made a big dent in that obligation. Since the beginning of 2020, by God's grace, we have enjoyed a significant increase in overall attendance, and we may need to think about putting something away for church expansion, which is possible. There are plans on the map for expansion, make the church more roomy. In terms of maintenance, all the fire extinguishers were inspected up to current standards. The furnaces have been inspected, filters changed, thanks to the generosity of a parishioner. We all appreciate all of your generous donations. We need them. We assure you that our volunteer staff is most vigilant how your hard-earned contributions are utilized. We do not give money to the diocese, which we would in normal times, and to the Vatican, Peter's pence. We do not give it, not a penny, not one pence, and only because we know they gravely abuse them. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development gives money to pro-abort, pro-contraceptive, pro-unnatural vice groups around the country. So we don't, and we will, once the authorities get put tradition back in its proper place. So we don't waste your money. Behind the scenes, there are many items and services still donated, which would otherwise be expenses. Volunteers regularly complete tasks throughout the year and our special annual work day. So to those of you who have been here in this St. Anthony's Chapel in North Caldwell since the opening of the church, thank you for your fidelity. To those recently joined, welcome. are grateful for your generosity and, equally important, your ongoing support and encouragement to glorifying God with the holy sacrifice of the Mass in this church. And so, last week and in the bulletin, I briefly pointed to the great messages of Our Lady of 400 years ago, a good success in Quito, Ecuador. And she lamented back then that at this time of the crisis, the world's greatest crisis, starting in the mid-20th century and onwards, one of the reasons God is very disappointed with Catholic people is because, here, the fifth reason the lamp went out, that is the lights of faith, due to those who have the financial means to help the church but do nothing. I just got news, one person donated $215,000 to support those truckers in Ottawa, in Canada. Bravo to that person. They have the means to do it, they do it to establish a little bit of human civil liberty. So what should Catholics do to establish true religious liberty and the restoration of the true sacrifice of the Mass? Or, you have been generous. To you does not belong these words of Our Lady, that they have the financial means to help, but they do nothing. And one other thing I came across, I couldn't find it last week, so I didn't. I'll just read it today. We have what she said about that great prelate to come, who some think might have been Archbishop Lefebvre. If it's not referring directly to Archbishop Lefebvre, it's someone of his spirit. And the way Our Lady describes this great prelate to come, who will get us out of this mess, it fits the man, Archbishop Lefebvre, who made me a cleric and established our Society of St. Pius X, and to whom all lovers of tradition give thanks. This is what Our Lady said. And she did say that this man will come when all seems to be lost and paralyzed. She begged Sister, now Venerable Marianne, to pray earnestly for that prelate to bring about an end to these terrible times. And she said that the tepidity of souls consecrated to God, especially in the priestly and religious state, will delay the coming of this prelate, this special father. Well, these were her words. In this epoch, the secular clergy will be far removed from its ideal because the priests will be careless in their sacred duties, losing the divine compass that will stray from the road traced by God for the priestly ministry, becoming attached to wealth and riches, which they will unduly strive to obtain. How the church will suffer on that occasion when the dark night, from the lack of a prelate and father to watch over them with paternal love, gentleness, strength, discernment, and prudence. Pray insistently without tiring and weep with bitter tears in the secrecy of your heart, imploring the Heavenly Father that for the love of the Eucharistic heart of my only Holy Son and his precious blood shed with such generosity, and by the profound bitterness and sufferings of his cruel passion and death, that he, God, might have pity on his ministers and quickly bring an end to those ominous times, sending to this church the prelate who will restore the spirit of its priest. My most holy Son and I will love this favored son with a love of predilection, a special love. We shall gift him with a rare capacity, humility of heart, docility to divine inspirations, and strength to defend the rights of the church, and a tender and compassionate heart, so that like another Christ, he will assist the great and the small, without despising the more unfortunate souls who ask him for light and counsel in their doubts and hardships. With divine suavity or sweetness, he will guide the souls consecrated to the service of God in the cloisters, making light the yoke of the Lord, who said, "My yoke is sweet and my burden light." Into his hands the scales of the sanctuary will be placed, so that everything is weighed with a due measure, and God will be glorified. And so, only one line about today's gospel in relation to this. God planted all the good seeds in the church, all that is good. But the evil one plants the evil seeds, and they grow up and cause havoc within the church by God's permissive will, not his positive will. By his positive will, the church is completely holy. By his permissive will, there are these elements of poisonous weeds within the church. And he wanted us to know and be prepared through them, through the evil weeds in the church. We are all being constantly tested, tried, and even more greatly rewarded. And also he shows great patience with the sinners, that they may convert thoroughly, even those sinners then within the church. But there comes a time when there's an overwhelming number of weeds and there needs to be a big cleanup. So that will happen in God's good time. In the meantime, fight for tradition. I'm going to elaborate on adult catechism today about the question of religious liberty, one of the zizania, one of the cockle seeds that we have destroyed so much today, the truth about religious liberty. And it hinges upon this one distinction I mentioned. God has his positive will, which all are obliged to follow once we discover it, which the church is bound to propose until the end of time. And God has his permissive will, whereby evil is allowed to bring about a greater good. And our Lord does not say that this man, this enemy, has the right to sow those seeds of evil. But patiently we will endure and tolerate this evil until the great sifting takes place on Judgment Day. That's the bottom line when I talk about and quote to you Archbishop Lefebvre about religious liberty and the great danger that Vatican II put the church and the world in by spreading these seeds that are really cockle. So have confidence in our Lord. I have overcome the world. We have the key remedy. Be fervent in the practice of your faith, and trust and hope in God and your love for God. If we live by these lessons of the epistle today, your family and our communities will all be much more perfect. More souls will go to heaven. So keep these in mind, and as you go through this coming week, and I'll give you all after Mass the special blessing of St. Blaise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.